Well, you might remember these. Some of you might remember these. Way back in October, we took a Sunday and I asked everyone to write on a piece of paper someone who was influential in them coming to faith, growing in their faith, and all of that sort of thing. And we created a chain. And I've put the chain up whenever we have walked through the series. We're in a series of all of those one another passages in the New Testament. And so we did about 4 or 5 weeks, and then we broke for Christmas. We did a couple weeks, and we're going to do a few more weeks because there's a few more of those one another passages. And this reminds us that we really are linked together as a chain, as a body, as a people, together, one anothering. So as we get started today, I have a question for you. Why do you go to church? And I really want you to think about it. And if you came in, hopefully you got a white piece of paper. And if you didn't, just scribble on something else or do it in your head. But I'm going to give you about 2 minutes. We're going to play a little music just in the background. But I really want you to think about your reasons. You're not going to have to share any of these that you don't want with anyone else. There's pencils in the pew rack things, but I really want you to think about, why do you come to church? And if you're sitting next to a significant other, maybe you want to hide your paper from them, because your answers might be different. That's the point. So just mull on that for a minute. Why do you come to church?
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Jesus, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus.
So now that you have some answers, if you would like, just call out one or so of your answers. Why do you go to church? Anyone?
Worship my Savior.
Okay. Worship. Okay. 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 Why else?
Be with my church family.
Okay. Be with my church family. Okay. Music. Okay. Get back on track. Okay. One more. Donuts. We do have a good coffee hour here, I have to admit. If you're new here, donuts, coffee, tea. Now, there's plenty of other reasons that we can put up there. And we're going to read a passage this morning that's going to suggest a reason we take part in worship that's not on here, that may surprise us and hopefully challenges us as to at least one reason why we come, because all of these are legitimate. We come to worship God. That's absolutely clear. To express our love for God, to praise God through music, that's a big thing. To be instilling in our children, the coming generations, the faith that we have, absolutely. To hear a message which maybe will get us back on track and to be challenged in our faith, to be with our church family. Those are all great reasons. But this morning we listen to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start reading in verse 23, but we're going to highlight really 24 and 25. And the writer of Hebrews says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, that entire passage is built around the southern word y'all. You all. It's one of the unfortunate parts of our language is that you can mean you individually, you corporately. We don't distinguish. But many other languages do, and the Greek language does. And this is a y'all thing. The writer is speaking to everyone. Let us hold fast. Let us consider not giving up meeting together, etc. So verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We have a part to play in our faith. This writer puts it very simply. Hold unswervingly. Grab hold of your faith. It's an active. It's activity. It's what do I do to make my faith stay as strong as I can. And the image I had was from my water skiing days. I enjoyed it. It was a boatload of fun. Drank a lot of water. But the neat thing about water skiing is you have this huge rope. And when the engine goes, it pulls you out of the water. But if you let go, you sink. Hold the rope, you stay up. Let go, you sink. See, that's the picture that the writer is giving us of our faith. That we have to hold on, if you will, to the rope of our faith. That if we let go, we begin to sink. You might skid along for 10 or 20 feet, but eventually you just begin to sink. There's always an active participation that we play in our faith. And now the writer is going to talk about some ways, not all of the ways, but some ways that we actually hold on to our faith. And so he continues, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Now, isn't it interesting? He's talking about us holding on to our faith. And then in the next breath, he says, "So we should consider how we can spur others on." Do you realize that when we pour into other people, we are actually holding on to our faith? It actually strengthens us. Ask someone who teaches a subject, any subject. Even the teachers who are teaching the young children in Sunday school right now. If you have to teach something, you learn it far better for yourself. And that's part of what's going on here. He's saying we hold on by spurring on other people. Now, I had fun with that particular verse, and I looked at it in a couple of other translations, and that should be the next screen, unless I've goofed them up. Russ? There we go. So, the NIV says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." I like to read the Message every now and then because Peterson will give a fresh language to something. And he says, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Just think about that. How inventive can you be? Can I be? How creative can I be? How out of the box can I be in thinking about how I can encourage other people in the faith? And it's to love and good deeds. How much thought did you give to what you could pour into someone else this morning? You don't really have to answer that. Because the end result is if we encourage people, the gospel, the idea of God loving us and we loving the world and showing that in good deeds, just begins to blossom. I looked at another translation. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good words. And I like that because the word motivates good. It's helpful for me because that's a positive reinforcement that I put in someone else's lives. He's not talking about figuring out how to cajole other people to be better, you know, how to get on their case to be better. He's saying, what can we do, what can I do to positively motivate others in their faith? Love, the hallmark of what our faith should be, and good deeds. Remember, Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Our faith, the love we have for others, should impact how we live towards other people. And that should be a visible thing. Not that we do it so that everyone sees us, but because we live that way, people will see. And then there's the last one. Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and good deeds. And the reason I like that one was because it actually caught the kind of word order in the original language. Let us think about each other. You know, the point the writer is making is that when we come to worship, we should be thinking about each other. And that literally is what the wording says. The literal wording is, let us consider one another for stirring up love and good deeds. And when the Greek language puts something first in a sentence, it's kind of like we might put a highlighter on it. It's like, hey, this is important here. And so the author's reminding us that one reason we come to church is because of the others who are here. And that is a very different thought than most of us have when we think about church. Now, these are certainly all appropriate. The writer is not giving us the only reason. He's simply giving us one reason. Surely we come to worship God. Surely we come to be an example and set an example for our families. Surely we come to hear something that would get us on track. But guess what? I think the writer is suggesting that the word that might help us get back on track is not just what's delivered from the platform in the morning, but might be a comment from a friend at coffee hour or as you're walking in. See, I think coffee hour is a huge part of the morning. It's when we connect. And sometimes a word that a friend can share with me there touches me and moves me, you know, more than the message of that morning or even the songs, because some days I'm in different places. Now, there's an interesting effect. If we just go to the next slide. See, these are reasons, or a new reason, why we go. Or at least that's what the author's suggesting, that one of the reasons why we go might be that person sitting behind us or across the room from us. Or the one who has volunteered to be in the nursery or to be teaching Sunday school today. And the cool deal is, if you think about it, if I come here with the mindset, maybe God has given me a way to encourage one person. If everyone else has that same kind of a mindset, I'm probably going to get encouraged along the way too. Because someone in the crowd will have been planted there by God for my encouragement. And so even as we give ourselves away, God has a way of replenishing, and probably more so than if I just looked at it with my own eyes and said, what about me? And if you're not convinced that he's really talking in part about why we go to church, as he talks about spurring on, motivating, encouraging others, we go to the next verse. I'll back up, 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day coming. See, it really is about meeting together. If we don't meet together, we won't be encouraging anyone else, and we won't have the encouragement of all those others to keep us what? Holding on to the hope we have, to the faith that God has given us. It really is about meeting together. And that is, you know, the weekly worship opportunity for sure. But there are many other ways during the week that we can meet together to encourage one another, to spur one another on. The guys have a tremendous study Saturday mornings. I don't know, 16, 18 people now, guys come to that. And every one of them that goes who tells me about it are like, this is really good. I mean, they get up all week long and then say, I'm going to get up to be there at 7:30, 7:15 on Saturdays. I meet with a group of guys on Friday mornings. I meet as staff, and most of our staff time is really to do encouraging of one another. Because it's important that I pour into others, but that they pour into me. And that's one of the reasons, at least for the author of Hebrews, why we should go to church, to meet together, to have these meetings, to spur each other on. I was thinking about that, and I wondered, what would happen if in coffee hour we sprinkled in a conversation that's faith-oriented, not just life-oriented? I know it happens, but what if we were maybe a little more intentional about it? Not in a harsh way, but in an encouraging way. I wondered about the question, what if we added into our conversation a question that went something like this? How do you think you might have seen God at work today, or this week, or these last 2 weeks? Now, I wrote that question being intentionally open-ended. How do you think you might have seen God at work? Isn't it interesting what that would do for a moment? How do you think you might have seen God at work this week? There's no right or wrong answer. Doesn't have to be a hyper-spiritual answer. You know, my child who seemed to be coming down with something on Monday night was fine by Tuesday morning. Wow. If the person said that to us, what if we responded, wow, could it be that that was God at work? I got a new account this week. Could it be that that was God at work? I got engaged this week. I was going to announce that later. Could it be that was God at work? You see, God works in our life in so many ways, but how often do we even stop to think about it? You know, and if someone were to say, oh, I don't know. I just don't know how God worked this week. What if we came back and we just said, well, tell me one thing good that happened this week. And as they share one thing good, could it be that that little slice of goodness was God at work? Now, we don't have to take a question like this and make it rote. My point is simply to say, God is really asking us to consider how we might spur others on. That part of why we come here is to worship God. But part of why we come here is to be an encouragement for someone else who's come. Because we all need that. We really are a whole bunch of individual people on a journey of faith. And I for one, need that link of other people. Someone who pours just a little bit of courage and encouragement into me. And maybe I can do that back to them or to someone else. And so, I have a little bit more strength to hold on until I meet again with others and are encouraged to hold on all the longer. So my hope today is to just challenge us to think beyond the why do I go to church? Well, because I want to worship God or because I like the music or because I like this or because I do this, and help us to think that maybe there's a reason beyond me. And that reason are the people seated around me right now. We're in it together, all of us. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the sense that the writer of Hebrews gives us that this meeting together is a really important deal. That if giving up meeting together, it's almost like I'm letting go, at least for a moment, and I can begin to sink. But more importantly, that meeting together, I have an opportunity to encourage and to be encouraged, to hang in there with you, Lord, through the next few days. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this body of believers and for the encouragement we can be one to another. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.